Hello, and welcome to the seventh episode of the James Newton Podcast. A little later than planned, but still the same at heart. This week, we've got my take on another truly underrated game, this time an early GameCube release, some general gaming news, and anything else I can think of squeezing into my free 10 minutes. As the man on Sega Rally used to say, sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's been a whole lot of activity going on in the world of games this week, and a few bits even popped up on my particular radar. I don't normally cover news unless it applies to Sega or Nintendo, but this week I'm going to give Sony a little of the limelight, because I'm fair like that. Having said that, mostly they're included because they're doing something very unlike Sony. They've given the customers a price cut. They're sick of their PSP playing second fiddle to the Nintendo DS, even though it is still the most successful competitor Nintendo has ever faced in the handheld market. Sony has dropped the price of a base pack by a pretty wonderful £20, down to just £129.99. Similarly, their budget range, including Panda Puncher, Tekken Dark Resurrection, and the racist roly-poly Loco Roco, has dropped to £14.99, brand new, representing a very tasty entry point for everyone except rights campaigners of any sort. One key point I would like to point to Sony to improve is getting their key titles on track. Its biggest release in quite some time, Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops, has been recalled from retailers due to a mistake that meant the BBFC rating certificate was missed off the UMDs themselves. Hopefully it won't be long before it's released, but I'd say it's likely at least 2 weeks, probably a month. Still, with the GoCam out in 2 weeks, enabling the PSP to do pretty much everything a modern-day phone does without the phone calls, Sony's diverse machine could find its fortunes improving this year. I would be interested to hear from you if anyone is tempted by this price cut. Leave your thoughts in a comment. Is £130 cheap enough? Yes, that bombastic tune can only mean Namco! There's been mixed fortunes for my gaming this week, with the good, the bad and the indifferent all striking within 7 days. I'll start at the middle ground with the 3D identity crisis that is Soul Calibur 3. As I said in previous podcasts, my experience with 3D fighting games pretty much ended with a little dabbling in the original Soul Calibur. So picking it up again 2 sequels down the road is a bit unnerving. One of the Dreamcast's key titles, Soul Calibur extended its last ability with an intriguing mission mode, which made you fight under different rules, just to spice things up a bit. Actually, it worked really well, and became probably the only decent one-player mode ever in a 3D fighting game. Soul Calibur 3 does have a similar mode, involving massive giants with I-beams and swords, but the real last ability I think would come in the totally bewildering Chronicles of the Sword mode. If you imagine a cross between Advance Wars, Total War and Soul Calibur, you'll have a reasonable idea. You move fighters around a map, conquering strongholds and attacking enemies, gaining experience and unlocking weapons. It's an intriguing idea, but sadly it lacks the strategy and skill. It doesn't quite. Next, it is on to the bad news, and probably the worst gaming news I've ever had. Well, not ever, but certainly in recent memory. Skies of Arcadia Legends on the GameCube is one of my all-time favourite games, and probably my second favourite role-playing game after Shining Force 3. And I did put in a good 40 hours or so collecting all the moon crystals and preparing to eliminate the Valuan Empirical Army. Imagine my surprise then, when my memory card corrupted. Sadly, I didn't have a backup despite the fact I plundered the pre-owned carts at GameStation. I rendered those 40 hours pretty much for nothing. Of course, on the bright side, I can now play through the orally superior Dreamcast version, but without the added features from Legends, such as the Moonfish, all the download content and the wanted battles, I think it will seem a little underwhelming. Still, as it's one of my favourite games of all time, I think I do have it to complete it. Anyway, that's enough moaning. I want to finish on a high. Having the job I do chance upon cool games more often than most people, but they don't always meet my high standards. Thankfully, the game I'm going to introduce to you now is an exception. It truly surpassed my expectations and took a comfy seat inside my heart pretty sharpish. The game is the adorable Doshin the Giant on the GameCube. Now, I understand that Doshin was never actually released in America, which is a great shame, although I can actually understand why. You play a yellow giant, who looks rather like Bert from Sesame Street, who has to plant trees near villagers to give them green energy. And by fulfilling the wishes of the villagers, they give you love, which helps you grow taller and stronger. It is about as emotionally empowering as games get. By mixing the four different tribes on the island, you can create new cultures and monuments, and it is interesting to see how they all interact together. Occasionally, natural disasters come along to mess things up, but you counteract them with your giant powers. It's rather like Black and White in a very Nintendo Animal Crossing kind of universe. As a very early GameCube game, it's hardly graphically amazing, but the pointy-eared villagers are very sweet, and some of the artwork is really genuinely incredible. It's a very charming game that I really, really enjoy playing, and it's just a shame that it got passed by most GameCube owners. It'll never have a sequel, sadly, but it's still a tremendous game that I recommend to anyone seeking a game featuring a giant yellow person with a pretty suspicious looking belly button. Just about the first podcast I think I've got through without mentioning anything about Knights. There was an interview in Endgamer quite recently with the game's director, Takashi Iizuka, but sadly he didn't actually reveal any interesting information about the game whatsoever, despite being asked if the music system would remain, whether A-Life would be included. It was basically, his answers were generally, well, we included this in the first game, and it went down really well, and we're thinking of doing something similar, but we can't make a comment yet. Pretty much very useless. However, hopefully we will be seeing videos soon, and hopefully they can confirm that A-Life and the remixing music and all other amazing features will be included in the game. Best game ever, that's what I'm billing it as. Anyway, that's about it for this week's episode. I'm sorry it's so late, but there was a good reason. Next episode will hopefully go up on time, so do come back on Monday for more James Newton podcasting goodness. Goodbye!